Good morning, VRC. Good to have you this morning. Welcome.
Yeah, turn it on.
Oh.
Hold it down.
Good morning. Good morning, VRC. Welcome. It's good to have you this morning. Sorry about that glitch. It's wonderful to see y'all this morning and to be able to serve in the house of the Lord with you guys. It's wonderful to see you on a bright, sunny day. I'd like to do the mission statement this morning and like y'all to join in if you can. VRC is moving deeper, higher, and further into Jesus and sharing our love for Him and people with the world. Connect with people everywhere in genuine Jesus-centered relationships. I pray for the same relationship that Jesus wants for us with Him, with myself, with you guys, and with the whole church body. I'm going to go into a prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you, dear God, for your presence this morning. We thank you for your hand over our lives, dear Lord. We thank you for the love and grace that you give us and show us that we don't deserve, dear Lord, but we're given through the blood of Jesus Christ for what He did for us on Calvary, dear God. Lord, I ask you to touch this day for your name. Share, let us give your word today. Remove us, dear Lord. Let you be seen and heard, dear Lord, in everything that we say and do. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, His love for me. Overwhelming. praying and I'm asking right now, as this last song, as we've been worshiping and joining in for this last song, my prayer has honestly been that if you were here this morning or if you're watching, that you experience that touch. The truth of that song, that His way is better. Sometimes we can get that in our head. We talk about this often here. We know it in our head that God is better. But there are times and there are moments in our lives where we need to experience that and feel it in our heart. And many times we feel it in our heart because He comes in and He affects the circumstances in our bodies, in our minds, in our spirits, and He makes them better. And so, God, as I'm looking out on this parking lot and as I'm standing here in front of this camera, I know about prayer requests that have come in to cars here on my left. And I know that there are people that should be in certain vehicles that aren't because they need to be better this morning. They need to feel and experience that better of the song, God, either in their body, in their mind, or in their spirit. And Jesus, I'm same with vehicles on my right. And I know about certain things. And so, God, as I'm looking at the people, I'm praying and I'm asking, Lord, I don't believe that You put this in my heart for no reason. There are moments when we need to reach out and touch the hem of Jesus' garment, and we need to speak up with a confidence that says, if we were to do so, then He will hear and acknowledge our prayer and come in and work and move in the area of need. And so, God, I pray for healing right there, Jesus. God, I pray for healing in body for the Boyd family. I pray for the Clements and healing, Lord God, in Barbara's body. I pray, Lord God, for you guys and your family members that need a touch this day. God, I look out over Diane and I speak healing over her in Jesus' mighty name. God, I pray that the weight that is burdening people this morning in their mind and in their spirit, Jesus, that as Father, as we come into Your presence, this song speaks to that as well. I will praise You, I will praise You, I will praise You. And Lord God, when the sacrifice of praise is offered, Lord Jesus, then the burden is lifted. I'm praying, Lord God, that the burden on people's heart, mind, and body would be lifted, that You would touch and You would meet the need, and God, that they would leave this place different than when they came in. That they would leave this place encouraged, that their family members would be touched, Lord God, and healed in their body, and Lord God, their hearts and minds would be opened up again to the ministry of Your Holy Spirit. And Father, I'm calling, Lord, upon Your people that we would not just grab hold of that this morning, that we would transact with You in that way that God, if I'm praying for You this morning, then I would encourage you to pray for yourself and for your loved ones for this particular need. Just pour out your own heart to the Father this morning and then follow up with that person, with that family member. Ask them, hey, we prayed for you specifically, not just my church, but I'm praying specifically, and I want to know how you're feeling. And if they come back with a report that says, I'm about the same as I was, then don't you be defeated by that. Don't you be deflated by that. You do like Elijah did when he knelt upon the cliff overlooking the sea, and he prayed that a 3-year drought would end. And the word tells us that he prayed 7 times. He bowed down on his knees and he prayed 7 times, and he sent his servant. He said, go look out over the sea. Tell me what you can find. Tell me what you're looking at. Tell me what you see. And after the 7th time of going, he had to have been thinking, it's the same thing again and again and again. But when the time was right, after that 7th time, that servant came back to Elijah and he said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand rising up out of the sea. And Elijah grabbed hold of that, and by faith, he said, now run and tell Ahab. He said, there's a storm about to come, and unless you go and you move with it now, unless you move out ahead of it, you're going to be overtaken by the rain. because God is ready to pour himself out again. And I pray that, Lord, over your people, that we would grab hold of that we would not be discouraged by the things that we see around us, in our families, even in our own homes, even within our own lives and hearts. But God, I pray that we would see by faith the size of a cloud, the size of a man's hand. Your hand, Lord, that grows into your hand. Big clouds that fill the sky. And let the rain come and the blessing come and fall once again. For the sake of your name, Lord God, return your people to yourself. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you love the Lord this morning and you believe that he wants to do something in your life, give him a good hand or honk. Hallelujah. So good to see you guys this morning. I know some of you are out there sweltering in the sunshine where you are, in your car. And I know that there is, oh goodness, I know that there is air conditioning. How many of you can say praise the Lord for air conditioning?
Praise the Lord for air conditioning.
I certainly am praising the Lord for shade in this moment in time. If you need to, you can come out, and I bet some of these fine-looking fellas here will be glad to get you a chair if you need a chair to sit beside your vehicle this morning in the shade of one of these trees, if that would help. But right now, they need to go come to you first. You tell them when they come by and they bring the offering bag your way. You say, you know what? It's stinking hot in my car, and I don't want to run my motor, and would you mind getting me a chair? And I bet they would be glad to get you a chair, okay? So we'll hook you up. Father, I pray right now, I thank you, Lord, for the people that are here this morning. I pray your blessing upon them, and as they come and they bring tithe and offering, Lord, would they, I pray that they would just receive that multiplication blessing. Bless them, Lord, in return, exceedingly abundantly above all that they could ask, think, or imagine in every way, shape, and form. Lord, bless and build your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. This morning, I got a few announcements that I want to give to you. And then we're going to recognize a special, special group of people. Gavin is ready to come and tell you about this group. But before I let him come, I would just want to tell you that this past Friday night, we had Neighbor Night. And that was a big success. I honestly didn't know. It was the night before 4th of July, and I didn't know if people would have plans. But out here on the side of the building in the shade, we had a good number of people gather, and we just had a great time of fellowship, and a few people brought snacks to share, and we made s'mores, and it was a blessed time. We threw cornhole over on the side, and we want to do that again. But listen, don't wait on us. Don't wait on us to do it. It's Neighbor Night. Be a neighbor. Be a neighbor to the people around you. Host somebody. It doesn't have to, you don't have to have a ton of people in order for God to use you and to do something awesome in your midst. So that's what we saw this past Friday night, and we're going to see more of it. I want to let you know also, this coming Wednesday, we will continue. It'll be our second week of the Holy Spirit study with Justin Hawks. That is a time of study and prayer for the Holy Spirit to do something amazing in our midst. So you can be part of that. Come here at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening, or you can tune in live on Facebook. We're going to continue to have our women's impact and men's groups meeting this Thursday at 6:30 here at the building for the Armor of God study. Friday morning, 6 a.m. here at the building. And we'll be back to Rick's place at 9 a.m. next Saturday morning for the men's impact study of Luke. And by the way, that Luke study, even if you're not able to join in via Zoom, because we do Zoom on Saturday morning as well, you need to let me know if you want to Zoom in with us. But you can do the Luke study on your own, and that because it's on Right Now Media, and you're going to hear more about that from me later on this morning. I also have the next two Friday nights. Last Friday we had Neighbor Night. This coming Friday, I'm going over to the Giving Tree Food Pantry. And many of you know where that is because the Giving Tree Food Pantry distributes food every Friday evening, afternoon and evening, out of the old building that used to be our church building. And so we bless the New River Valley Community Church, and we bless the Giving Tree Food Pantry, and we are working with them. And if anyone wants to volunteer for that, and that's going to be folded into the Agape Center of the New River Valley, and I'll be there this coming Friday afternoon. And if you would like to join us, we would love to have you and see what God is doing there. They serve literally, it was 50,000 pounds of food within the last year that the director of that pantry told me that they help people with. Dozens and dozens of people every week. All right, so you want to be a part of that and come anytime between 3 and 6 p.m. And then the following Friday, which will be July the 17th, from 6 to 10 p.m., we're having what is called Second Mile Prayer. In other words, going the second mile with the Lord. We're going to have special fervent prayer time for the needs of our individuals, our church, our community, our state, our nation, and our world. Okay? And this is going to be a deep time of prayer and worship. And it's 6 to 10 p.m. Yes, it's 4 hours, but we are pressing into the Lord. Halfway through this year, 2020, we started off reading the Word. We're going to refocus, and we're going to see God move and do things in the world that we live in. And lastly, you're going to hear more about it, but I want to begin to mention to you, look for the advertisements. Many of you remember the organization called Promise Keepers. It was a men's organization that God used to do mighty, mighty things in the late 90s and early 2000s, and they have revitalized that organization, and there's going to be, they were planning a giant event in Dallas, but thanks to the coronavirus, we don't have to go to Dallas because they are going to, and I'm just like loving how the Lord's turned this around, but the Promise Keepers is going to do a simulcast broadcast event, and we're going to host it here, and that is the night of Friday, July 31st. And it'll be from 7 to 10 p.m., tremendous group of speakers and worship and everything else. And you're going to hear more about this. But Friday night, July 31st, and Saturday, August the 1st, 3 hours Friday night, 3 hours Saturday morning. And we're going to invite men from other churches. But you need to register online. That way we can know how many people are there, because we're going to have to cap it. And we'll ask people to wear masks, and the men can come in and just be blessed. More info to come on that this week. Gavin, would you come please, sir? Gavin and his wife, Brianna, were the leaders of the mission team that we put together. God put them together and sent. They were planning on going to Kenya. Many of you gave to that. You worked for that. And God had another plan. But I asked Gavin to come. We are honoring that whole team this morning, and I need Gavin to speak to you about the team and what God did in the middle of that, and how the giving still managed, how God turned what the enemy meant for evil, he turned it for the good of a great school in Kenya. Come, sir.
Good morning, Victory. I want to take a minute to recognize the Kenya Missions team on behalf of the church. Again, the team members were Rachel Mash, Caitlin Akers, Kathleen Shoup, Shorty Powell, Austin Hanks, Brianna, and myself. Just on behalf of the church, I just really want to thank each of those individuals. I think the only one that's currently at this service, besides Brianna and myself, is Shorty, for the dedication and for listening to the heart of God for this ministry, for this mission, and for this church. But also, as a representative of the team, I want to thank you as our congregation, as our brothers and sisters, for your support. This church was faithful to give as God directed and to serve as God directed, and that touched our hearts so much, and I hope that you were touched by it as well. You supported us and helped us through so many bake sales, a spaghetti dinner, a talent show that I had a blast with that. That was so much fun just to get together and to have a time of fellowship. And it also was effective at raising support. And also donations given through relationship and directly through the church. In total, $10,700 were raised. Praise God. In the course of about 3 months, and I was blown away by that. A little over half of that was going towards airline tickets, which again, praise God, we were able to get fully refunded. And as of now, the trip is not canceled. It's been postponed until next summer. So we're going to continue to try to find ways to raise support, because the funds that were raised have not gone unused. The school in Kenya has been shut down, just like all the schools in Kenya, and they have really needed a helping hand. And it was really amazing, and I just cried when I saw the way that God had provided perfectly in accordance to their needs and according to His riches in glory, through the efforts of this congregation. The team is starting to meet again for small group fellowship and devotionals, and we'll be posting dates and times and locations for that. So please, feel free to come join us in our fellowship. Now, I want to give you an update about what's going on in Kenya, but before that, I do want you to know that you should be proud as a congregation of the impact that you have made in the ministry of Mickey and Donnie Royal and the community impacted by it. This is truly a church that is active in outreach and ministry locally and globally. So if you know anyone who's looking for a church that is moving and growing and is making an impact locally and abroad, invite them to come and see what we're doing here.
Amen.
And to be a part of it. In Kenya, all schools shut down completely in March. As Mickey and Donnie Royal is funded in large part by tuition paid monthly by families who can afford to do so, there is very little coming in. In April, $4,300 raised for the dormitory that we were going to go and build was sent to aid the school in feeding students living there and helping teachers pay rent and buy food. In May, approximately $1,200 from our plant sale and private donations was sent, because again, the whole month they were shut down and no regular income. In June, Kenya decided that schools cannot start reopening until the first week of September. As you can imagine, that's a devastating blow. In that first week, only the 12th and 8th grades can start back. And they'll, week by week, expand from there. The youngest students will not go back until next year. For a secular organization, this will be a death sentence. But not for God's church.
Amen.
It will be a very difficult season for their whole country and for the communities and for the ministries like this that impact those communities. But it's not too difficult for God. I want to share a letter that was sent from Grace and Ngao Pia, who started the school and continue to oversee it. Gavin and Brianna and your lovely kids, hello. We are doing well. The COVID-19 situation is easing, but has left the country with many jobless and hungry families. We are praying that God will do something for these families all over, and especially those that we rub shoulders with. We continue to trust God for our staff pay for this June. It's already July, and we need miracles more than ever. We need God to truly touch the saints to see this need and put it on their heart to be part of it. We are grateful to God. He has been very faithful since COVID-19 began for us to raise some pay for teachers without children in school. We are grateful for your family and church standing with us during those very trying moments. You've been there for us. God richly bless and remember you always. May He provide for your families according to His riches and glory. Your prayers and support have uplifted us so much. I do not have enough words to explain. We believe the same for the closing of June and July. God will make it possible for the church to remember our staff again. We are grateful for you keeping our hands lifted during this pandemic season. Without help, most of our staff would have been removed from houses because of rent or gone hungry, but you have continued to share God's love with them through giving. They don't stop praying for you daily. These are days when one receives food on their table. It's a miracle from above. It's a season in which many have learned that God is our provider. Stay blessed as you stand with us believing for this urgent need to be met before houses get closed and our staff runs out of food. We need to raise partial pay of $34.50 for 69 teachers and $1,000 to cover the school's bill. As of now, we have $1,200. You are such an encouragement to us. Thank you so much for reminding me what God says in his word, never to fail us and never to fail to accomplish his purpose. It is so true, he feeds the lilies, and he will feed our teachers and staff as he has done before. We must not worry what to drink or wear. That's for the faithless. What is even more encouraging is that we are told not to worry for tomorrow. Honestly, this time we were beginning to worry, wondering what will happen to our staff, as it's already the end of the month and not much has come in. Thanks for that reminder not to worry, because God knows what will happen tomorrow. He has always provided. God, I'm really sorry for my little faith this time. I believe with my brother Gavin and sister Brianna that you are going to provide for your people, feeding and meeting every need during this COVID-19 pandemic. Amen. God has just been so faithful thus far, and we're believing that he's going to continue to be so faithful because he has never failed. I want to close this in prayer for the school, for the team, for our church here. And before I do so, I'll just ask that if you feel God putting it on your heart to help meet this need in prayer or in giving, just come talk to me or send me a message and we'll get together on that. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you meet our needs not too early and not too late, but right on time, according to your good and perfect will. God, to build our faith and to glorify yourself, God, because you are worthy of that glory. You are worthy of that praise, God. We thank you, Lord, for ministries like Nick and Donnie Rural Comprehensive School. We thank you for the body of believers here. God, that we have been so privileged to be a part of your ministry that's going on over there. And also, even in the process, that while we have had events here raising support, that we have had the privilege of speaking to so many in the community about what you are doing here and around the world, God. You've laid it on my heart this year that the outreach to raise support is not outreach to raise support. It's outreach to expand your kingdom.
Amen.
And it's not just expanding your kingdom in the place where the support is going to, but it is expanding your kingdom right here.
Right here.
Because a church that is moving and is active is a church that is growing.
Yes, Lord.
And I thank you that your church is growing.
Yes, Lord.
We praise you for your faithfulness to provide for this congregation and for your people in the New River Valley through this pandemic. And we thank you and we praise you for your faithfulness to provide and to continue to provide for our friends, our brothers, and our sisters around the world. We lift you up, God. And we look into the future not with a sense of dread, but with a sense of belief, God.
Yes, Lord.
Trust.
Yes.
And victory.
Father, build that with
we
us.
Claim your victory.
Build that with us.
And God, we bow our will and our hearts to you. And we continue to ask that you would continue to reshape our hearts to look more like yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes, I'm so proud of, I don't want you to just stand right here for a minute, because I'm so grateful to Gavin and Brianna and this team in general But your leadership, your organization, the passion, and this, it's not just been about this trip. It's been about everything since I've met them. This is our heart to see God move and to do and to work. You built this team into a group of people that even though they didn't get to travel, that team is still, that is powerful. And so what you say is very true, and what I need everybody here to understand, why are we taking time to do this morning? Because what this did is exactly what Gavin said, is build the kingdom here. He took a group of seven people from this church and he made them into a team who gathered together for a purpose. And the purpose wasn't just to travel to Kenya, it was to see the kingdom of God come upon this earth. And so that there was much to happen. And Gavin and Brianna, are out there with Elsie and Jackson. I know, Brianna, and we just speak blessing over you, and we thank you so greatly. We love you dearly. I'm proud of the individuals who have come together to form this team as well. And you heard their names, Shorty and Kat and Austin and Caitlin and Rachel. We're going to continue to highlight people who allow the Lord to do mighty things in their lives. They took the Great Commission literally. They took the Great Commission literally. They made it their pursuit to meet the goal that God put in their heart to take the gospel to the world. And it started right here. He set a bar for them, and even though the circumstances made it impossible for them to travel to Kenya this time, this year, it was still God's will for them to prepare to go. Of that I am certain. Sometimes we think, you know, God, you set me in motion, you set me in a certain direction, and then if it doesn't pan out the way that we think that it was planned, then we start to think, well, God, did I miss you? And I can tell you for a certain that this team did not miss God. This morning, I want to speak to you for the next few minutes on this idea of setting the bar. I mentioned it. They set a goal for themselves, set a bar, and I want to speak to you. That's the title of this message this morning, is setting the bar. See, God sets a bar of expectation for each of us, and I've got here with me this morning, just as a, you know, I was imagining, you know, anything from a high jump bar to a limbo stick. I ended up settling for a broom handle, a mop handle, just to remind you that God sets a bar for each one of us. There are expectations that he puts out in our lives, and so pray with me right now as we go into the message for today. God, set a bar up for us this morning. Put out your expectations. Remind us of what those are. We talked about them last week because they haven't changed. Just because there's a pandemic, just because there are circumstances in our lives that aren't even connected, Lord Jesus, with anything COVID-related, God, there are expectations that you say, my kids, my son, my daughter, I've got these things that I want you to be busy with, and I'll help you. I'll help you. I'll make sure that it gets done. And so, God, help us to see the bar. God, to see and hear the expectations. When we see it, help us to reach for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so I'm going to talk to you this morning about some expectations. And the first expectation is simply stated in the Great Commission. And that's Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19 and 20. And it says this, Jesus came and he told his disciples. Are you his disciple this morning? Am I talking to some disciples of Jesus today? I hope so. Because see, a disciple, listen to me, a disciple is someone who is saved and learning how to be more like him. See, a disciple is a learner. A disciple is not just somebody who's saved. A disciple is someone who is saved and is learning to be more like Jesus, like their teacher. And then, if that is you, then the rest of these verses, this is the expectation for you. Jesus said to you, disciple, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make more disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And if, listen, what do you think the end of the world looks like? Some of you say, it looked like what I saw on TV this morning or last night. Okay? Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you. Jesus is with us. There's another restatement of this same Great Commission expectation in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. But it's got a little bit of a different flavor that I want to offer to you this morning and tell you about. This is still the expectation, the first one.
Then he told them, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. And then this is what's different in Mark. He says, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. And the truth is this, people, we've got to preach both of those truths that are part of the message. Believe and you will be saved. Believe and be baptized and you will be saved. But if you don't believe, then you're condemned. And that is not something we can leave out. And we want to make sure that we share the truth of the gospel. You need Jesus. You need to believe in him this morning. His love is great, and it's reckless at times. It seems reckless, but listen, either believe in him, or we're going to be hurting. We're going to be hurting, okay? He goes on to say, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety, and if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. And both of those two statements of the Great Commission, they set the expectation of Jesus. And that is that his disciples help others to accept salvation. And we as his disciples help others to be like Jesus too. That's what it means when it says baptize and teach. Salvation, listen to me carefully, salvation is the beginning of the education, not the finish line to which we are trying to get people. Hallelujah. Just gonna pause. I'm going to let you think about that. You get people to say a prayer, and then you drop them. There is nothing more unloving than that. Okay? We've got to baptize and to teach them how to walk that out, how to love them through things, because how many of you know that that's when sometimes when we're the most vulnerable is right after we give our heart and life first time to the Lord. We're doing both. Okay? That's the expectation. The second expectation that I'm going to share with you, and it's stated in both of those verses, especially though in Mark, and that is great empowerment. Another expectation that we should have of the Lord is great empowerment. Also, I'm going to give you one more verse to remind you about, and that's Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the expectation of Jesus is that his disciples receive the empowerment of his Spirit to be witnesses everywhere. Across the hall, across the street, and across the ocean. Hallelujah. That's what our team did. That's what God calls us to do. You and me this morning. Everywhere. Within these expectations, however, God sets up some bars for us to reach. So setting the bar today, and this bar that I'm talking about, if you will, just think of them as attainable goals, okay? That's what we're talking about when we say setting the bar, some attainable goals. And I'm going to give you one more passage of Scripture, and I'm just going to summarize a story. It's a parable of Jesus that takes place in Matthew chapter 25. And yes, I am moving quickly this morning. I'm going to give you a lot to take in, and you might think you're drinking from a fire hose today, but we're going someplace over the next several weeks, and I got to get the water turned on. So hold on. Okay, Matthew chapter 25. It's a story, a parable that God gives about the three servants. It's a parable of the three servants. Sometimes you might have heard it called a parable of the talents. Okay? And the story goes like this. Jesus is talking to people and he says, once there was a master and he gave to three of his servants a bag of silver. And to one servant he gave 5 bags of silver. To another servant he gave 2 bags of silver. And to another servant he gave 1 bag of silver. And he said to each of them, hey, I'm going to go away. You use what I gave you and you make the most of it. And I'll be back and we'll figure out what happens. We'll see how you do with it when I get back. And so the first servant with 5 bags of silver, he went and invested and worked, and he produced 5 more bags of silver. And the second servant had 2 bags, and he did the same. He doubled it to 2 bags. But the third servant, it says in beginning in verse 28, the third servant hid his bag of silver and didn't do anything with it. And when the master came back, he found all three servants, and he said, hey, how did it go? And the first one came to him and said, look, I threw through the investment that you gave me, I worked and I earned five more. And the second service said, I did the same. I worked with the investment that you gave me, and I made two more. And here it is. Here's all of it. And the third servant, he got to that third servant, and the third servant said, hey, look, I knew that you were a hard master, someone that took what wasn't even his. And so I saved the silver. I saved what you gave me, and here it is back, every penny of it. And to that person, the master looked and said in verse 28, he said, take the money from that servant, give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a hard lesson, because it doesn't sound like the servant did much wrong. But let me talk to you about some things that we see in that lesson this morning, in that parable. One thing we see here is that there are different levels of performance from each servant. We often get caught up in thinking that some servants are just more productive than others. But I really want us to think about some things this morning in this parable differently than you might have thought about in the past. And first thing is this. There's different levels of performance even within individuals, okay? There are different levels of performance even with the individuals. So many times I think with this particular lesson, we start to thinking, oh, well, that one guy, he had so much. He had so much talent and so much ability, and that's why he was given five bags to start with. Can I tell you that even within an individual, there are areas of strength that we have that are great in one area, and we might be in another area, we might be like the servant who had the one bag. All right? They're represented, the levels of ability within each individual sometimes are represented by the different servants, the different bags, five, two, and one. Okay? The strengths that we have as individuals. I want you to think of the strengths that you have in your life. There are some areas where you have five bags of strength, some areas where you have two bags of strength, and other areas where you and I might have just one bag of strength and ability. Okay? The servant with five bags might have been very good with business and finance, but listen, he might have been terrible at caring for his family. How many of you have known people that were really good at working and doing their job, but they ignored their family at the expense of their job? Or they did their job at the expense of their family. Okay? So you and I need to look at that this morning. So you understand that my point is that each of us has strengths and weaknesses, and the bars of expectation, generally speaking, may be higher or lower in certain areas depending on our strengths. Maybe you and I reach only a one-foot bar. We only get 1 foot off the ground in the area of physical service to the Lord, but we can fly over a 10-foot bar on teaching online. And you've got the ability, you can't get out and do much for people, but you can sit at home and you can open your word and you can share a devotion online and you can put it out there and you will encourage somebody, and it'll be like reaching a bar of expectation that the Lord has for you, that it'll be just like a 10-foot high jump bar, or it'll be like producing double with whatever the Lord has given you. I want to give you an example of what I mean. See, there's a terrific lady servant of the Lord named Johnny Erickson Tata. She's a wonderful Christian. Many years ago, she was in an accident, and she was paralyzed, and she's a quadriplegic, and she has been serving the Lord faithfully in her wheelchair for many decades. And so Johnny, she produces fantastic devotions and books and teachings. However, Pastor Ron Fredericks is not going to get on the phone, even if he knew Johnny Erickson Tata, he's not going to get on the phone and call her to be a lifeguard at Camp Maranatha, is he? She's not physically able to do that. Okay? She can't do that. So the second thing we need to see differently, you understand what I mean, there are different levels of strength, different levels that the bar is raised to or lowered to in our own lives, individually speaking. And so you and I have to come up to or get to, move down to the area that says, God, just go in the strength that I gave you, the Lord said, okay? The second thing I want you to see differently about this parable of the three servants this morning is that the increase, and listen to me carefully, the increase that every one of them saw, those two that showed an increase, that is not due to the efforts of the servants.
that is not due to the efforts of the servants. I promise you that, okay? Now, they gave effort, but can I tell you that the effort that they gave, that the investment that they were given at the beginning was the investment of the master, okay? That was his, and they did something with what he gave them. The word, there is an important lesson in the word that we need to get this morning. We tend to look at this parable and we focus on the efforts of the servants because we like to think of being rewarded for our efforts. And we should be, and God will reward us when we work. But we have to be careful not to get the wrong idea of the master. And see, that was the bigger mistake of the lazy servant. He didn't do anything with the investment that the master gave him, but he also thought that the master was hard and ruthless. Jesus is not hard and he is not ruthless. He is a loving Savior, and when we are faithful with what he gives us, it will be to our benefit no matter how the visible results turn out for us. And I need to remind myself and you guys of that this morning. And I'm going to tell you that there are places, first of all in James chapter 1 and verse 17, that confirms this. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And again in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase in our life. He gives the increase. And those two verses confirm that God provides the growth in our lives. See, how many of you have ever worked really hard and it didn't seem like your efforts produced anything? I know what that feels like. Our efforts are not what makes the difference. It's God's blessing. It's the touch of God in our lives. And he promises, he makes that, he gives us something to work with. We work with it, and he provides the increase, just like in the parable. And I'm going to tell you this morning that he promises that there will be 100%. Did you notice that there was 100% increase for both of those servants? They doubled. They had a 100% increase in every case, whether it is at the 10-foot level, the 10-foot level of expectation, whether it's at the 5-foot level, or the 1-foot level, I don't care where the bar is set for you. If God gives you the expectation, he gives you the goal, and he says go in the strength that you have, then there's 100% increase because that's the way the Lord works. And you might think to yourself, well, you know what? I didn't get my 100% back on that investment that I made. God never said it would turn out to look exactly like what you put into it. God never promised us that. He just said that he was faithful. He just said that he was faithful. All right? So today, on the day that we honor a team of people who blessed the people of a school in Kenya and blessed people in this community, we're honoring them. We are also calling on every individual to make some very specific efforts to meet the expectations that God has put on us to go and make disciples by preaching, teaching, and baptizing. Hallelujah. All right? That's an expectation that we have on us. And I'm going to give you some really, this. I'm excited about this. I want to show you a book right here, right now. You can't see it from where you're sitting, but this is what it's called. It's called The Art of Neighboring. It's a terrific book that I have discovered, and it is actually on, there's some video-based snippets, lessons. I would show it, if we were inside, I'd show it to you today about how we can go and be a neighbor in this day and age, all right? It's by Dave Runyon and Jay Pathak, and I will put images of this on the Facebook page. I encourage you to get this book. I encourage you to read this book. I want to explain to you that it uses the parable of the Good Samaritan to give readers some very practical ways to be good neighbors and reach people for Jesus, starting with the people that are closest to us. And so the thing that I have for you this morning, the bar that the Lord would have us set for one another is to have a very practical step. And I want you to choose 8 people that are the closest to you. In this book, they suggest the 8 people that live the closest to you. It's The Art of Neighboring, and it's based on the parable of the Good Samaritan and the concept that says, hey, what if when Jesus said, love your neighbor, he actually meant the neighbor that you live beside or that you live across the street from, okay? Now, you and I, we're limited in what we can do in the church services, but there is no limit, and we're limited in other ways because of COVID-19. But I can tell you this, the world is out there being very creative right now in how to reach out to people. Jesus' church needs to do the same thing. Hallelujah.
and we'll figure out how to do it. The mission has not changed. The vision has not changed. As a matter of fact, God has set the bar even a little bit higher. But I'm telling you, this actually talks about setting the bar so low that, you know, sometimes the bar gets set so high you feel like you can never meet it. If setting the bar, sometimes it's a matter of setting it so low you can't get under it. Can I tell you that you and I have an expectation put on us from the Lord that it'd be so simple? How about we just learn our neighbor's names? We talked about how important this is in our own church. Do you know the names of the people, the 8 closest people to you? And I'm not going to be legalistic. You can pick 8 people who live in your neighborhood, but say you live in a place that is like you've got a great plot of land. There's a mile between you and the people, the next closest people to you. How about 8 people that you know the best at work? 8 people that are the closest to you in your family? 8 people that are the closest to you at school? Kids, I'm telling you, we can come up with the names of 8 people and begin to find them out. I was challenged by this. I don't know the names of the people that are on my street, but I've been working this, and I've been trying to figure out ways. God has opened up the door for me to have opportunities to meet people. I got some new neighbors and some ones that I've lived beside since we moved in 2016. I didn't know their names. And those people, and we're going to talk about this in the coming weeks, those people are not my projects, they're my neighbors. And we don't have projects, we have neighbors. And this is why the vision of the Lord is stated, the mission, excuse me, of the Lord for this house is stated the way that it's stated. And that is to connect with people everywhere in genuine Jesus-centered relationships. And I mean genuine. Genuine. I'm not after, I don't want people just so I can say, look, I led them to the Lord. I want people to know the Lord because he loves them and because it's their eternal salvation is on the line. Hallelujah. Okay? That's getting them something that's worthwhile. So listen to me. I'm encouraging you to order the book. You can do it through Right Now Media. Right Now Media is available to you for free. And please contact us. Many of you, there's over 100 of you that I invited to join Right Now Media. There's an invitation still sitting in your inbox because I look at it and it still says pending. When I look at my account, it still says pending. And so you haven't signed up for it yet. All you gotta do is click the link that I sent to you. And if you trashed it, tell me again. I'll send you another link. And you can do a search. It's called The Art of Neighboring. And it'll help you to order the book. It'll give you access to the videos, the same one that we're going to watch in the second service in the sanctuary today. But one of the things that video mentioned is that the bar has been set by the Father. And your bar may be a graduate level bar. Your bar may be really high. And God says, I don't just want you to get to know your neighbor's name. You already know your neighbor's name. It's time to go over and knock on that neighbor's door and see what they need from you. Say, I haven't seen you in a while. Knock on the door, step 6 feet back, and say, hey, I'm here to do for you if you've got a need. And if you don't, just say, how you doing? Is there anything I can pray with you about? That may be graduate level for you, but for those people that you think, well, shoot, that's no problem. I do that all the time. Guess what? Your bar is higher. Your bar is higher. You might be, you're anywhere from a 1 bag of silver person to a 5 bag or 2 bag of silver to a 5 bag of silver. I don't know where the bar is for you this morning, but I can tell you this, the Lord is setting the bar at new heights and new levels. And one of the ways he's doing it, he's putting it too low for people to get underneath it, because there's not a soul out here who can't figure out a way to find and remember the name of somebody that lives close to you or that works close to you and that you can pray for. Okay? You can't get over or you can't get under that when you can't get out of it. And I don't want to hear, well, I'm not good at remembering names. Well, you know what they make? This thing's called pencils and paper. Write it down. Draw you a map. Okay? We can do this. We can do this. We can do this. Start by learning their names. We can learn the names of the people that the Lord has put around us. Where we live, where we work, where we go to school, where we shop, or just in general, the ones that we run into day in and day out. And we can be kind to them because God has been kind to us. And we can begin to pray for them. And as we pray, we can ask God if there are more things that he might have us do for them. And those things might even include sharing the gospel message. Because guess what? Like I shared with you to begin, that's the expectation that God has for you and me, for his disciples.
He will give the increase. Don't you worry. We follow the Great Commission. We follow the Great Commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor.